Hi, I'm Shane O'Loughlin, and I'm part of the Venture Forth podcast.
Shane.
And I'm your recapper, Shane. Welcome to Harken Back. Still processing the departure of their dear friend, the agents of repair began their ascent to the peak of the Venville Rise with two cumbersome goals and a dearth of any foolproof plans.
Well, last time, Flynn shot an arrow when they just before they killed people, and then he, like, rushed forward to make sure they didn't sacrifice anyone. So, like, I mean, we could always go with that again, right, Flynn?
Yeah, maybe...
They split into two groups. Kellick, Seeker, and Thessaly joined the Dark Blades and the Arakokran tribe as they made their camp, and put on a big show of having similar goals to that of the Dark Blades and their leader, Provel.
I hope I'm not prying too much, but I'm sorry, I have to ask, what are you all doing here?
Well, I would say that our goals are aligned then, because we would also like to see our friends' people get to their homeland.
Meanwhile, Flynn and Olma hung back in case a stealthier approach was needed. And Flynn took the opportunity to try and reintroduce Olma to the concept of being a kid.
Why are you throwing snow at me? Stop throwing snow at me.
This is... Throw some back.
What?
Throw it back.
Throw what back?
The snow.
But it, like, broke apart when you hit me with it. How am I supposed to throw it back to you?
Well, you get some from the ground and you pack it up and you throw it. It's called...
Why?
Called a snowball fight.
Yeah, it's... Oh, you got me there! As I, like, tried to, like, tuck behind the tree, but I'd blow it down so it would hit me.
I got you!
Yeah!
Thessaly, too, was concerned about Olma, but more so with the direct physical consequence of their imminent encounter.
Are you telling me you don't have a contingency to get the only child in your group to safety?
Does it look like I have a lot of control over the variables? I am trying to stop an ancient darkness from resurfacing as a result of portals between planes tearing asunder the very fabric of the universe. No, I don't have an escape plan for a little 12-year-old girl, and I don't think that it makes me a terrible person.
Kellick, despite previous interactions, I don't think badly of you. I'm just concerned about the kind of power you've decided to make yourself beholden to. That's concerning to me, and believe it or not, I have a little bit of experience with that. I don't think you're a bad person, and I'm worried about Olma, and luckily for you, I do have a contingency plan, so I just wanted to make sure I wasn't going to screw anything up.
What's your contingency plan?
I think it's best if I keep that to myself, but she'll get out of harm's way. You think that's funny?
You think you can get Olma out of harm's way? I know you've only been here for a short time, but let me tell you, it's not gonna happen.
I think
good luck to you.
In the midst of all of it was Tito, delivering cryptic messages that lent some credence to the idea that he might possibly be some kind of seer, and maybe the embodiment of a key to the mountain's gate.
He gives you a vigorous handshake and looks you dead in the eyes and says, he has trouble sleeping without a snack.
I'm trying to find Kellick. Have you seen someone rubbing their knees?
He's in the temple.
He's here
now.
No,
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. He's there, over there, as he points over to Kellick. I'll always be here to keep you safe. That's what she said. That's what she told me to say. That he said, but I don't know.
That's what... Who told you to say?
Is it the lights again? I don't know. It comes and goes.
Where did you
lights?
Hear that? I heard those words not long ago from my father in a sort of a waking dream.
Roses are for you. I think there's a note inside.
The roses?
It means the smell of dirt after rain.
What?
You were wondering.
Smell of dirt after rain?
Yeah, that's what it means. Anyway, I'm gonna go back to the group now.
It means the smell of dirt after rain? What means the smell of dirt after rain?
I have no idea.
Petrichor, you were just wondering. You're welcome.
Petrichor means the smell of dirt after rain?
You got it.
In an effort to figure out exactly where they stood with these Dark Blades, Kellick masked the confrontation with Provel behind good-natured curiosity.
So let's go up, get those people home, close the portals, head down the mountain.
I give him a hearty pat on the shoulder.
really wish you hadn't said that. That's not quite the plan. And I hope you understand that, like I said before, we are here to execute a plan. I've been assured that most definitely keeping the portal open and expanding the portal is the greatest action that we can take. We've all been subject to this war for long enough, I think, and I know that you'll agree that the war is, I think, the enemy of all the people of Elbor.
Aye, very true.
Don't get in between us and our goals, because then you're gonna leave me with no choice.
I've become very well aware that the most dangerous thing you can do is leave a person with no choice.
Meanwhile, Seeker identified the conduit through which the Dark Blades planned on opening the gate. A little metal ingot, just like the one that the Priestess of Amriel had used to put their souls back in the right bodies, back in episode 46? The semblance of a plan began to form.
Hello, Oma. They have that metal ingot, and the best plan we have is for you to take it after they open the portal. More to come. Okay, bye.
What are you looking at? Whoa.
Oh, I think Seeker did that thing where he talks in my head.
Oh, yeah. Because maybe it isn't as easy to tell.
Do you know what an ingot is?
They reached the peak above the cloud line with naught but the starry night of the long eve above them, and the ritual began. With some Benton glass, a little Tito blood, and some chanting in an ancient tongue, the Darkblade wizard Dunner summoned a giant, ethereal Mega Tito and cut the gate open with his spooky magic ingot.
Tito all of a sudden begins glowing orange, and you can see his chest, this yellow light, begin to emerge. As all of a sudden, raising up from Tito, you see second vision of Tito, though this one completely made of this orange and yellow substance. You can see an ethereal projection of Tito now raising up out of him.
Once the Arakocra had all made it through this magic portal, ever expanding with the help of this colossal manifestation of Tito, the agents of repair made their play.
Yeah, I'm sneaking up towards him, and I'm going to, because I'm, you know, invisible, and I hope he doesn't know I'm there, I'm hoping he's not, like, gripping the metal too sharply, too hard, and I'm going to try to grab the opposite side of the metal and use shocking grasp.
A mighty fray began. Olma managed to secure the ingot, but not without revealing herself and placing herself in the center of the conflict right next to the open portal. Kellick, with a certain person's cautionary words ringing in his ears, made a dangerous push to get past Provel.
Fucking Thessaly! I'm coming, Olma!
Flynn fell prey to a relentless assault from one of the Dark Blades. Thessaly began a bloody exchange of blows with another, and Seeker deployed protective magics to aid his companions. Even with the ingot in their possession, however, the Tito-born scion of the Plane of Air still pushed the gate wider and wider, causing great bursts of wind to blow them toward the sheer cliffs. Seemingly indefinitely stunned and deterred by their capable foes, and with air elementals beginning to flood the material plane, it looked like the end for our heroes. But Seeker had a card up his sleeve.
I'm going to pull out the card with the dragon on it, the blue dragon on it.
No way.
Yes.
And I'm going
to... if there was a time.
We're just going full chaos now.
This is crazy.
Okay.
Crazy.
And I'm going to look at it, and I'm going to run over to this ledge and try and climb up to the point where I can secure myself enough to swipe my finger across it and say, if you're listening, now I could use some help. And I'm going to toss it as far as I can over towards Super Tito.
Please don't summon a dragon. Please don't.
Please
do the card whips through the air and lands just at the feet of Ethereal Tito.
Yeah.
As all of you, there's a moment of silence and still in the air. As Seeker, for a moment, you're not sure. The card just landed wet. And all of a sudden,
what
a
crap,
blue, blue claw reaches up out of the card. Snow goes flying everywhere.
What?
Plants itself on the ground. As you can see, a blue head rip from the face of the card. The ink of the card is tearing itself from the face of the card as another hand, boom.
It was a beautiful blue dragon.
Boom. Hits the ground as you see ripping.
Do you have
spine,
any control over this thing?
Back legs, boom, boom. Tail, bud, hits the ground.
Like in relation to Mega Tito, how big are we?
You have now summoned an adult blue dragon.
An adult!
The size is huge.
Okay. Seeker's dragon, as one might expect, turned the tides of this mountaintop battle, terrifying the Dark Blades into submission and taking particular umbrage with Tito's interplanar icon.
As you see this blue dragon rear up on its hind legs, but one claw on Tito's left shoulder, one claw on the stump of his right shoulder, reel its mouth back, open up its jaws, and completely consume the head of Ethereal Tito. And as it bites down and in, and you can see the teeth sinking their way into this orange and yellow ethereal form, you hear doom, 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 as it begins sinking lightning damage through the energy of the...
This effort was costly to Seeker, however, and drained him of almost all of his life force, save a few healing spells from Kellick. Fortunately, without this spectral bird to sustain its growth, the portal collapsed in on itself, and the Darkblades had no recourse but to surrender. Rather than kill or imprison their foes, The agents of repair made an offer.
Nothing that happened here changes my mind. I think drastic changes need to happen in order for this war to be stopped and for this world to be saved.
What are you part of some mercenary guild for, then? You could be hired by either side of this war. You should join people who really want to help.
Careful to avoid the encroaching forces of Kaldor's military, the beleaguered party took shelter in a cave some ways down from the path. A rigorous debate ensued between Kellick and Project.
I just don't see how you think this solves the problem. It just adding to the body count. It's foolish. It's a quaint idea. Burn down the building. There's some rot in it. So let's just start over. You can cleanse
the
rot.
Should we just wait around and hope that the rot recedes itself?
I don't understand what
you're proposing.
I'm proposing you do the diligence. You find the rot. Excise it. It's not easy. It takes time. Sometimes you make mistakes. But we have a world full of people. Like you said, families, ideas. You're just willing to throw that on the pyre. Because maybe the next people will do better.
With a reluctant admission from Provel that maybe he needed to rethink things, the two set about taking their watch, catching the telltale sound of a twig snapping just outside their cave. Upon inspection, they found themselves struck by a terrible realization.
You look on the ground and you see a single silver piece. From the silver piece, you hear the sound of a snapping twig.
Oh, shit.
Who could forget about the mind flayers that Omar heard were coming after them back in episode 86?
And Thessaly, immediately, you see the dark, inky black eyes of an Illithid floating in the air perfectly above you.
Robbing Thessaly of her divination-proof necklace, the mind flayer vanished before any of them could react. Kellick checked on Thessaly and found no signs of any mind flayer tadpoles. But he couldn't help but offer once more to treat her wounds with the magic of the new gods.
You got a couple of good blows on you.
I'm pretty tough, Kellick. I don't know if you've noticed.
I know, but I've seen lots of tough people die.
Thessaly, you do take all of that healing, but after it happens, you feel just a little bit nauseous.
Yeah.
I've never seen that happen before. You don't seem to like the gods.
Oh, Kellick, that's such an understatement.
So maybe the feeling is mutual, is that?
It wouldn't surprise me.
Did they do something to demonstrate that?
It's actually the fact that they didn't do anything.
That does happen.
Yeah, it does. I can't figure out why they chose you, and why they continue to let hundreds, if not thousands, of people die every day on ships and on land, and they ask us all to watch and just move on and be okay with it.
This is just a theory I'm working on.
Hmm.
But I don't think they expected all of this. I think maybe they bit off more than they could chew.
Well, you'll forgive me if feel just a little less than sympathy, considering everything they seem to be able to do.
Well, as you said, you're tough, you're mighty.
Sure.
Then how come people die around you? This is because despite having a lot of power, sometimes you can't help everyone. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to overstep.
No, you're right, people do die.
No,
right?
I didn't.
No, people do, Kellick.
I meant it more broadly than that, Thessaly.
But they do, so maybe I'm not what they wanted. I don't know. They won't tell me, and I've asked. Look, I'd like to take my watch. Do you mind if Do you mind if you just leave me alone, please?
Yes, I'm sorry.
Frustrated for myriad reasons, Thess and Flynn took their watch, reflecting on failures both fresh and ancient.
I sucked. I was on the ground getting the shit kicked out of me. That whole fight, I get knocked off of the platform, and then when I finally have a chance to attack, I miss all my swings. Kellick just gets power just for asking for it.
I think he did a little more than ask.
It doesn't seem that way.
Flynn, sometimes there's just not a reason for things. Sometimes we just lose. And sometimes we have to give it meaning. And you have to figure out why you're fighting and why it has to matter that you don't stay down and you get back up and you keep taking more swings, even when you miss them again and again and again. And as someone who missed her fair share of swings over the past several days, I know the feeling.
I like to think that I put up a good front of not letting things get to me. With everything happening, with Shreya leaving, whatever the hell happened up there, it just, it's getting freaking hard. And I pour through these books hours and hours and hours, and I feel like I'm getting nowhere.
I mean, we actually achieved what people have been trying to achieve for a very long time, which was peace at the end of it. And isn't that the goal? Isn't that what you learned in the Ironlight? Isn't that why you joined? So that you could protect people and they could move on and live safely?
Yeah, but it's more than that, you know?
Then what is it?
Well, you wouldn't understand because, I mean, look at you. And I'll just like look up at this towering figure. Halflings have to earn their respect. They don't get it. Without the dragon, we may have failed. The fight with Chath, had you not fought him, I don't know if I could have taken him. With the fight of this demon, Kellick's the one that brought it out of me. I haven't won at all without anyone else. I need to be able to do this myself.
Flynn,
Coming from someone who's been alone for a really, really long time, you don't want that.
Olma and Seeker, too, tried to learn from the past.
I don't think I've ever told you. You remind me a bit of me.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, a little bit.
How so?
I found myself angry at my family and a lot of people from my past. And I started running with some people that taught me a lot of things. And one of those things was how to be angry and how to take it out on other people that I don't know. And I just want you to be careful. I see so much goodness in you, so much light. You're not sure what to do with your power, but it'll come.
But I don't think we're the same at all. I didn't leave home. I didn't choose to be wandering around the world with you all. I mean, I'm happy to be here, but this isn't something that like I chose to do and found a crew to run with, you know? And sometimes I get upset, but I think it's okay to get upset sometimes because sometimes like the world makes you upset.
My grandmother was a part of a horrible cleansing of people and it's hard to talk about.
A camaraderie and a quick drawing lesson from Thesta Flynn alleviated some of their grief. But Thessaly's following slumber was beset by a horrifying nightmare.
The form descends down further and further, and you can see their face is this stark white, almost porcelain skin. They have a golden band wrapping around their forehead. Their eyes and lips are completely black. And as they descend down to you, they reach out a hand offering to help you up. And this figure does not feel, while looking menacing and terrifying, does not feel imposing, but rather feels friendly. As they reach out a hand, they help you up to your feet. And that pull continues and almost yanks you in close as this porcelain-like face comes up directly towards yours.
Oh,
find me. As out of nowhere, three demon-like creatures with red leathery skin and wings tackle this angel and zoom them off into the distance beyond your field of view.
No.
And you see five figures. The red tiefling with the wooden staff turns to you.
They all deserve to die anyways.
The drow in purple robes.
And did you hear them scream? Just puts a smile on my face.
And then the half-orc.
We could help her, but then again, she's just so small and pitiful.
Finally, the wood elf.
Undeserving of our time or our attention.
All together, they look to you, and in unison.
She deserves it.
The proctors of her pain in Thessaly's mind's eye revealed themselves. The new gods.
We have the power, but we chose to do nothing.
Nothing.
Suddenly, you feel the warm metal hilts of your swords in your hands. And again, this burning pit of rage in your stomach. What would you like to do?
Which one spoke first?
Spurred to sudden severity by their sacrosanct sadism, she sought solace through savage slaughter of such cynical celestials, spinning their sneering smirks into sanguine spray.
As you drive your swords through the hearts of these two figures, you look to them in the eyes, and both simultaneous look to you.
Thessaly, wake up!
As you blink what? And open your eyes, and you can see Kellick standing
no,
in front
no.
of you.
No.
Oh my god, no!
Kellick lay dead at her feet. And chaos ensued, Thessaly surrendering themselves to the fury of Olma's burning hands, but something beyond her would not allow her sacrifice.
As you feel within your heart this uncontrollable burst of radiant energy once more, as from around you, boom,
no.
massive burst of energy consumes.
We're all close to her, right?
I'm
no.
I'm yeah. down.
No.
I'm,
I hit the.
Thessaly.
No.
And I'm out. Yeah.
I pass out.
Okay.
What?
And Thessaly, as you're looking around, you see everyone now laying unconscious around you. And you look to the back wall of the cave, and you can see the moonlight that is now shining in the cave. You see your own silhouette now with these massive white wings. With a flash of white, you wake up. You see Kellick in front of you, attempting to wake you up.
Hey, we're safe. I promise you.
Don't touch me.
It was a dream within a dream.
It's just a nightmare.
We've been through a lot lately.
Yeah.
There's so little I can offer you. I'd at least like you to be able to sleep. Is there anything I can do? I can make a cup of tea.
You want to make me a cup of tea?
The two shared some small talk. You know, about sacrificial rituals and the power of the gods.
Femir was wounded by what Artemisia did to her.
And what did Artemisia do?
She cut from her.
She cut a god?
Yes, it's just a theory, but I think that what I witnessed Artemisia doing, I think she was doing that to sever her connection to Femir while maintaining the power that Femir had bequeathed, thus creating the abomination that she is now, a servant to the Red Wolf, with the power of a god.
Alec, do you think this has anything to do with what they were doing in the lighthouse? If you could take away a piece of a god and attach it to yourself or attach it to someone or something, wouldn't that make that thing divine?
A cannon cannot be divine. A warship cannot be divine. A person is divine when they behave divinely.
I mean, that's exactly what Kaldur thinks. They think they're following divinity.
We are in the Vendel Rise. There's no Andalians here.
No.
There's no gods here. No temples. Kaldur is here to get resources. Mineral. Strikes me that that might be part of the reason this war goes on.
Then why has no one stopped it?
Inertia. Once the wheels of war are rolled out, it's like the Great War of Old. It wasn't until the angels were sent down that it was ended.
Oh, send down more I don't... Kaelic, they're gods. They have control over everything. Why don't they just do something?
I look down at my arm. I think they have.
It was here that Thessaly revealed, potentially, why Kodam Vo had taken an interest in her blood.
Kaelic, I'm not human.
I gathered that much, but I don't... Is it rude to ask what you are?
The way that they explain... No. The way that it was explained to me is that somewhere a long, long time ago, in my family's line, an angel helped us out, and then generations later, I'm the result, and I'm supposed to do something with that, but nothing ever really came of it.
Excuse your...
What?
you're a descendant of an angel.
I used to think that they were supposed to fix everything. And every time I asked for a little bit of help, nothing. I mean, what's the point in this? And I just like gesture to all of me again. if it's not going to hold any weight, if it's not going to do anything.
You're strong and you're brave and you're capable. And I just look down at the ground. You're a good person. And in my eyes, that is... the point.
They parted ways with Pravel and the Darkblades, hoping that the lethal team would reconsider their allegiance. Their recent successes scarcely holding a candle to the difficulties before them, the group headed south and reconnected with their fearless captain, Paston Broadhammer.
And all of you, just in the distance, barely in between the whispers of the wind, hear,
"Dizzle faster, ye devil!"
Yes.
Did you hear that?
Is that
Kelly?
Past?
I heard it.
I think I know.
I start running. I'm sliding. I'm like sliding.
It's a strange sound to associate with relief.
Come on, Kelly, he's this way!
Once aboard the Howitt Dugan, they prepared for the unknown future. It was time to decide what to do about the Kodam Vo, locked away in Hayfried's Void with his nefarious magical brand threatening the lives of countless innocents. Kellic asked for Seeker's help in identifying an old treasure they'd found in the Dakir ruins.
You look on the spine of the book, and you see, just as Kellic had seen previously, a word in common, like etched into the leather, that word being husk.
I don't like that.
As you continue identifying it, you begin to hear whispers of this book's secrets. And what you learn is that...
Are they more, like, whispery than, like, my normal whispers?
These are just the normal whispers of identify, telling you the secrets are within this book.
Danger.
Yeah.
Don't do this.
Give us your soul.
Kill Kellic.
So this book, it's like a library of all of the things ever written, and not said, but written about Elbor. Like all of it. And you can go in it.
What?
You can go into the book and ask questions.
Oh, Flynn almost read it.
But there is a cost. Well, it's a cost. It's not a cost. It's a trial. You have to like earn the knowledge.
Of course.
Meanwhile, Olma attempted to coach Thessaly through her phobia of boats.
So something bad happened on a boat and now you don't like them?
That is the, summary version of that, yes.
I'm sorry.
Oh, Olma, you don't have to be sorry. You didn't do the bad thing.
Yeah.
Right, so there we go. And now I'm here and I'm in the boat, so,
But you don't have to be afraid of that happening again when you're on the boat with us. You know, like the things I'm scared of, I still have to be afraid of because they could still happen. You know, so sometimes it's like, are you afraid of the thing? Oh, and should you be afraid of the thing?
Do you have nightmares?
Yeah.
Do you ever have nightmares where no matter what you do or how hard you think or how hard you try to wake up, you can't get out and you can't do anything about it?
Well, I remember like this one, I was being chased by like a giant squirrel. And that was a really bad nightmare, but that's the one that's sticks with
right.
me.
But and in the nightmare, you were afraid of the squirrel, right?
Uh-huh.
But are you afraid of squirrels now?
No, it's just so tiny and cute.
Right. But when I go inside a boat, I feel like you felt in that nightmare. And even though I know a boat can't hurt me, I can't get rid of that feeling. Does that make sense?
It does.
I think I've given you quite a lot to think about then.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then you just never have to go in a boat ever again. And it's okay that you're scared of them because you never have to use them and you can just avoid them.
Oh, Olma, you make such good points. And I guess you're right. I guess it's something now I have a lot to think about.
They made it back to the void. but Hayfried and Timmy were just on their way out.
We're already late. Let's go. As Hayfried turns around to you guys.
Where are you going?
Timmy and I are just off to a little escapade. We're going to be heading out for perhaps a couple days.
I'll raise my hand up to like just kind of like get just like get get Timmy's attention.
Hey, quick, before we go, what if we want to bring one of the platforms down? How do we do that with you gone?
I've got all of that right over there.
Oh, okay. All right, well.
You guys should be good to go.
Good to see you.
Alone in the void now, save the circling prison cells of their most horrid foes, Kellic revealed his recently formed plan regarding the husk and the Codon Vo.
Like most things, it comes with a cost. It takes you inside the book, and then depending on the gravity of the request you've made, I presume you go in and you say, I'd like to learn a better recipe for mushroom soup. And depending on how badly you want that recipe...
You defy the dragon.
I have a proposal of how we might use this. Seeker said that all of us would go in at once. What if we asked it how to counteract his drow... rune, yeah. His curse.
Yeah.
Fearful of asking too grave a question at first, the party opted to test the husk with something more delicious. I mean, simpler.
Is that, well, what's like an easy thing that we need an answer to?
Good point.
Kellic said he wants to know a better recipe for mushroom soup.
Why don't
soup.
We start
I feel
with
like
that?
That's pretty simple.
Well, I have a pretty good recipe. I'm not... Okay. That was just an example.
But it is a good one. It doesn't seem like it'd be too crazy of an ask for the but perfect it... recipe for soup.
Within the tome, they met Husk himself, a being of refinement, seemingly composed of book leather. He displayed to them his infinite library and introduced himself as their curator.
What is the best recipe for mushroom soup in the written world?
They always start easy. As he reaches down below the desk and pulls out this copper scale with, it's one of those tea scales that has the sort of baskets on either side. And he looks to all of you, and out of thin air, he pulls this glowing white orb. The weight of this question of importance to you, historical context, and possible use within this world. As he places it...
I shudder a little bit.
as he places it down on the counter.
Good thing Kellic did not ask.
And out of the other hand, he wisps through the air and pulls out this little feather, puts it on one side of the scale.
Oh, the weight versus a feather.
And he puts the ball of energy on the other side of the scale. You can see the scale almost imperceptibly tilts towards the glowing orb.
The challenge was trivial. Three gargoyles attempting to abscond with the pages of the recipes instantly disintegrated by Flynn's magic. Satisfied with their understanding of the book, the party exited the husk and prepared for the challenge that would face them when they asked their real question. Flynn set to teaching himself how to move the platforms in the void, a task he'd long hoped to accomplish. And in Timmy's notes, he discovered a familiar word.
Doesn't make any sense.
What does it say?
It says, to move the platforms, don't just think it, remember it. Remember is all big letters. And it says, childhood, love, loss, petrichor, passion.
Petrichor?
I will focus on it, and I will think first about me as a kid, and I'll think about running around with my friends on our little adventures together, and how I felt, and how optimistic I was. And then I will think of arriving home to a warm cooked meal by my parents as I arrived back at the shop just as sun is setting, and telling them what I got into that day, and just realizing how intently they were listening, and I always liked that they really just showed that they cared. And then I will fast forward a little bit to a more recent memory of one of our friends leaving for a noble cause, but still feeling that empty hole that's still there right now of a missing friend. And then I will once again think of the memory of pulling off on the side of the road during a trip with my mom to do some camping and the smell of that rain and the dirt. And then I will think of...
What will you think
what
of?
Will
interrupting
you think? I wonder who.
I will think of my book with all its spells and incantations and unlearned knowledge that I still have yet to uncover, and how immensely I want to understand all of it. And I will focus on that freaking platform.
And as you're remembering all these things, you close your eyes and you're picturing them in your head. You're really feeling them. You open your eyes and the platform is connected to the central platform.
Oh! What?
Oh, hey, wait, did you see it move? It's here now.
Good job.
Seeker, still exhausted from the life force he'd spent summoning a full-grown dragon, went to sleep. But not before he'd imparted on the rest of the party a message he had received from Xavier. He had made some discoveries regarding Olma's family. So they reached out to him via Hayfried's magical mirror.
Clara Cross Bagney and Simon Bagney, who, if I'm getting the timeline correct, were in the right place at the right time, They were both human, but I don't know if the town got the paperwork messed up or something, but it says here that Clara Cross Bagney lived to be well over 150 years.
Huh.
The next layer I could find was a Matthias Cross and a Teresa Crossney Davin. And again, Matthias, I from what I could tell, human, lived a normal lifespan, but Teresa, what I was able to find, has been living for well over 430 years.
Are they elves or?
No, all documentation that I've found says human.
Do you have a theory about this, Xavier? Are you familiar with humans that live supernaturally long lives?
Creatures called liches can live for extended periods of time, but I know that they tend to, over the years, exhibit signs of decay, and I can't...
Can a lich even have progeny?
That is something I have also never seen.
I only know what I learned. At...
You'd think that there would be records of someone who is decaying walking around town if that was...
Unless they erased it, but still...
That would be a lot of probably private journals to erase, which is...
Truly.
You don't think I'm related to a lich. How could I not? I'm not a lich.
If you all head to Sunplume, though, I would exhibit as great of caution as you can. I mean, I was captured previously, and I'm not one to brag, but that is not an easy thing to do. Long as she still has her necklace, she should be fine.
What do you mean? Which one? I have two.
Not that one with the water in it, the other one.
What do you mean?
I mean...
What is that necklace?
That's a very powerful charm.
Well, you
necklace.
Told me that I had to keep wearing it.
And you have not taken it off, have you?
No, but, I mean, when the monastery said it was all I had when I came in with, I didn't want to take it off, but what do you... I didn't know. I thought it was just from my family.
In our time together, I did determine that it is a very powerful charm necklace. It was gonna mask your magical signature.
Oh, you didn't tell me that.
I didn't want to worry you.
But what if we could have used it to find somebody?
I don't know that that can specifically be used to track anybody more than it's just to hide your specific signature.
You can't use a shield to
what if,
shoot an arrow.
What if the parents are looking for you and they can't find you because you're wearing that thing.
I think they might have been the ones to put it on her.
Maybe your parents didn't exactly abandon you after all, Alma.
Do we know why you were at the monastery?
No.
She was left there.
I grew up there.
And they wanted to teach you, but you had different powers?
I don't think they wanted to teach me, but they kept me.
And how did you leave again?
I don't want to talk about
well,
it.
This is the time, Alma.
It might be important.
Why I left?
It might help us figure out something that's going on with all your
it's
your
not important.
And, are you sure?
Yes, it has nothing to do with it.
Well, so you're the husk now.
What do you mean?
You know everything.
No, I don't know everything.
Then maybe it's important. But if you don't,
you don't know that. And I am just gonna like cross my arms and stomp away to the bed, and I'm gonna lie in one of the beds, and I'm gonna put the blankets over my head.
This wasn't the only bad news of the day. Kellick checked in with Zorkal to report back on the Ironlight raid of the Mind Flayer Nest below Saddlemount.
The base below Saddlemount is gone.
I give Flynn a thumbs up.
Totally destroyed.
Good, good.
Lots of Ironlight dead.
Not so good.
No one has heard from Melru in days.
Why are you making that face?
Huh. While waiting for Seeker to recover, Thessaly attempted to recall the angel from her dream, sketching it in detail powerfully enough to share with Kellick.
They appeared in your dream.
They did. Dreams are just dreams, though. I mean, I'm sure that I've...
Not according to Tito, Shreya, Tyre, Rovera, Kolkra. Ayana, Kellick knew from his schooling, was a high-tier justiciar of the old god Fenra.
That's not surprising.
Oh, why not?
Well, because a lot of what I can do is from Fenra.
You seem not to like the gods for someone who can call upon... their magic.
We have a mutual understanding.
I mean, at least you killed the new gods for...
I didn't do that, Fenrir. When I made my oath, I made it under duress. And honestly, when I made it, Kellick, I didn't think anyone was going to respond. I thought I was going to die. So what's funny about that?
I know what that's like. But maybe Zachary would know where Ayana is if you want me to ask him. I could.
I didn't even think of that.
At Kellick's request, Alma resurfaced from her duvet tomb to help make the new and improved mushroom soup. And soon, the familial ritual expanded to the whole party.
You guys shouldn't eat in bed.
Yeah, you're right. I'll come up there in a minute.
Okay, Thessaly!
I'm on my way over.
This soup is fantastic.
Thanks.
Any other...
I wish I could say it was my recipe.
It is now.
Yeah, maybe we'll innovate on it.
Could do some work.
Maybe a little less salt.
Like the bread, too, remember?
All right.
Just go ask for bread.
Does anyone else want some?
Yeah.
And I'll get up and ask for some bread to dip into the soup. I'll pass around, pick up my drink. Are those lemon pastries?
Yeah.
Huh, and I haven't had one of those in a long time.
Taste them, I bet they taste just like them.
I hope.
I wish the world wasn't dying outside, because then we could just stay here forever.
Oh yeah, the world. Should we go back into the...
Yes. Can we finish our meal first before we get sad again?
Into the husk?
We're having such a lovely meal.
Reinvigorated, the agents of repair transported once more into the husk, and asked their question.
This rune is on a malicious person with whom we are in conflict, and we would like to deactivate it and do so without harming the people that it is designed to harm.
A devilish artifice manifested before them. Six pages locked in six cages, guarded by poison-spewing golems, ever falling closer to raging pits of lava. Our heroes prevailed, with Thessaly taking the brunt of the hellish magma to salvage every last scrap of information.
What did you find?
It's not enough. It's barely a beginning.
What?
This Thrau, Lolan Thrir, Ivanomith, created the technology that they're using, this spellcraft. She did not go through the trouble of writing it in this journal, and instead may or may not have put it somewhere in a memory crystal, somewhere in her bloody lab, presumably in the Underdark.
No writing in existence would avail them. To get their solution, they must journey to the Underdark city of Dwyrnin. But doubts riddled the party's usually unshakable resolve.
We can't go into this with this much uncertainty.
We have to try, Flynn.
I'll risk my life, but I won't risk the lives of all those people if we fail.
So let's try. But
we don't have
time. We fail, they die.
What's our
option? We let him go, they live.
You're going to get them killed either way.
Maybe we can do this. Maybe we can do this. I don't know. This might work. We need a plan. And if we don't have a plan, I'm not going to do it.
If we can't get it done within 3 days, we come back and we let him go and we let him portal over there. But just give us the chance to solve it.
We don't even know where this place is. What if we can't get back to the portal in time and then we are sitting there while he kills people?
We're here to repair the world, Flynn. We have to try.
Why not try?
Then we all agree to the caveat of backing out 3 days in?
I think we'll decide when we come to it.
Yes.
Still weary from the acquisition of this doom-bearing information, the party took what little time they had to prepare for their venture into the Underdark. Olma and Xavier brewed potions to resist the poison they'd encountered in the mines of Nestle Valley. Thessaly and Seeker dug for potentially life-saving diamonds in an abandoned fire giant armory beneath Marstock. Kellick compiled medicine kits and weighed in his mind the prospect of using the Codon Vo's blood-tampering device that could turn him into a full-blooded drow. Flynn, on the other hand, snuck out to Addersfeld to check in on the Ironlight Collective.
You place your hand upon that divot in the stone wall. The doors open, and you hear the hollow wind wisping through the castle.
The castle was empty.
To the best of my ability, I would like to go to each area and just tidy things up. You know, go to the barracks and make sure all of the things are in place. All the swords are on the rack. All the shields are fastened and polished. I might clean a few. I'll make sure the dummies are set properly. I'll make sure all the barracks doors are closed. And last thing I'll do is I'll go to Melaru's office again and tidy up a bit.
With less time, less information, and more danger than ever, the agents of repair find themselves on a dark road towards a darker end. Can they make it to Dwyrnin in 3 days? Will the memory stone even contain a solution swift enough to stop the Codon Vo before the loss of innumerable lives? And should they succeed on this quest, what of the remaining world-rending gates and the continued war of the nations of Elbor? Find out when we return next time on Venture Forth.